Well, good morning, and greet you in Jesus' name. And children are a blessing, and it is awesome to see other parents up there, and knowing that they're going through some of the same things. And what a blessing, though, to have a young church. We had just come from church camping last weekend, and as I was thinking about Mother's Day and, you know, coming through the camping experience, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And so, children, there's a couple questions for you to start. How many of you packed all your bags and toys that were brought along? Is there any children? Okay, maybe none. Men, how many packed the food? Again, none. We probably would have just had Pop-Tarts and frozen pizzas if I'd have been in charge. There are so many things that our mothers, wives do behind the scenes. Generally, it's the mom that does all that. You know, I go camping generally, and my wife has majority of it done. Mom has Band-Aids for when kids wreck their bikes going around turns, and different things like that. It's taken care of, thanks to moms. There's a story that is told from the notes of a husband trying to take care of his wife or the children's moms, and it's detailed like this. Monday a.m. Dearest, sleep late. Everything under control. Lunch is packed. Kids off to school. Menu for dinner is planned. Your lunch is on a tray in a refrigerator, fruit cup, finger sandwiches, and a thermos of hot tea by the bedside. See you around 6. Tuesday a.m. Honey, sorry about the egg rack in the refrigerator. Hope you got back to sleep. Did the kids tell you about that I put Coke in the thermoses? The school might call you on this, and dinner may be a little late. I'm doing your door-to-door canvas for liver research. Your lunch is in the refrigerator, and I hope you like leftover chili. Wednesday a.m. Dear Doris, why in the name of all that is sane would you put soap powder in the flour canister? If you have time, please, could you come up with a likely spot for Chris's missing shoes? We checked the clothes box, the hamper, the garage, the back seat of the car. Did you know that the school has rules about bedroom slippers? There's some cold pizza on a napkin in the refrigerator. We'll be late tonight, driving 8 girls to tour the meatpacking house. Thursday a.m., Doris, don't panic over water in the hallway. It crested last night around 9 p.m. We'll finish laundry tonight. Please pencil in answers to the following. How do you turn on the garbage disposal? How do you turn off the milkman? Why would that rotten kid leave his shoes in his boots? And what do you do with the leftovers when they start falling out of the fridge? Friday a.m. Hey, don't drink from the pitcher by the sink. I'm trying to restore pink dress shirt to original white. Take heart. Tonight the ironing will be folded, the house cleaned, and dinner on time. I called your mother. Very true, right? But all the things that mom does in the background goes by the wayside. We really, really notice it. The truth is simple. Mothers are the backbone of daily family life. Their physical and spiritual well-being directly impacts everything else in our family structure. And so, moms, thank you. The title for this morning is Seen in Secret. Seen in Secret. You know, mothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers, they do a lot of work that often feels or maybe looks invisible. Something that's done secretly, not out in public. But when mom's vital work isn't done, it's unmistakably obvious, right? It's obvious that mom wasn't doing well that week. And so before we turn to our passage, I want to ask a question or two. Who raised the son? And you can answer this if you know it. Who raised a son who was a faithful friend and helped save a to-be king? Does anyone know? Who raised the daughter that got married to a to-be king and helped save the to-be king in a way of escape? Does anyone know her name?
Saul's wife.
Yep, she has the name. You guys can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 50. Some context as you guys turn there. This mother's life impacted history, okay? Very much so. We see it in the line of David, the Davidic line. And this mom had been intriguing to me and has kind of come on my radar when we had a discussion at school around Mother's Day, back when I was teaching at Terry Hill. And she was brought up as someone who was an actual incredible force in the household of Saul. And I hadn't thought about it a lot, and so I had went in to study this. So 1 Samuel 14:50. I should also say this. Ahinoam is different. There's two of them in Scripture. This one, or Saul's wife, is only listed once. Okay, we don't know a whole lot about all she did. But there's two different ones. The one was David's, and then this is Saul's. 14:50, and the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. And the name of the captain of his host was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. Now if you turn to 1 Samuel 14:57, but it's not there. There's no other mention about what she was doing in the household of Saul. And yet I think there's an obvious result of her mothering. You know, if you look at Saul and what he was going through and what he was doing, there's the other side of it. I think it was the mom. This case, Ahinoam is the, it has a C in the Greek literature, and so I think it's pronounced Ahinoam with a C. So Ahinoam is the mother of both Jonathan and Michael, right? We know them probably the best out of the five children that she would have had with Saul. And I think her fingerprints of character, her mothering, were in their lives. Both of her children were used by Saul to try and advance his kingdom, both Michael and Jonathan. He was trying to use them to kind of build up his kingdom. Jonathan to keep the lineage and obviously the kingship. And then Michael, she obviously used as hopefully a bait to try and kill David. And then he actually took her from David and gave her to a loyalist. And so she had a trying set of circumstances. But something in the character of the children and the dysfunction of Saul, the father, points to the work of Ahinoam as a mother. There isn't much said, but somewhere, Jonathan and all his qualities, and Michael and her qualities, though it does seem like she became bitter at the end of her life, something about the character of the children points to the work of a mother when there's the dysfunction of a father. And so this morning, I want to look at her life a little bit. So an outline, as quickly as Ahinoam's assignment, Ahinoam's adversity, and Ahinoam's anchoring in the lives of her children. And again, I don't want to add or take away from Scripture, but again, I think it points to the mom here. And if you don't think there's a correlation between the character of the children and the character of the parents, ask Zach, right? Or talk to your teacher, right? When I was teaching, you can see things like, oh, you must be that parent. You act like that parent if you know the parent. It's just linked. And there's a correlation between the character of the children to the character of the parent that we do not see in Saul, but in Ahinoam. A mother's secret sacrifices are often the source of her children's most admired virtues. You know, moms, take heart in all the things that you guys are doing that no one else sees. And don't worry about all those other things. In our culture today, there's a lot of things that get added on to mom duties. Careers, money, Instagram upkeep, the perfection image, the vlogs, and the perfect mom syndrome that can sometimes overwhelm gracious moms. Do the things that in Scripture are taught us, right? The fruits of the Spirit, the works of a godly mother, and the results will be taken care of by God. Do the things in Scripture and in secret. The results will then be taken care of by God. Ahinoam's assignment. Well, her name and her purpose. Seems like maybe she didn't have a purpose, but no, there was a purpose for her as a mom. Her name means, my brother is delight. Or you could also, it's also said to say, my father is pleasantness. And so her name has this idea of a joy and family, belonging inside that family. And yet, in the household of Saul, there wasn't that. So she lives with a man who's descending into chaos, and her name is a daily contradiction of some of the things going on. And it seems her mothering is evidenced in the results of her children. But the reality is this. There's one thing I want you to take away as moms. Hidden mothering, or things done in secret, still have a holy purpose. Hidden mothering has a holy purpose, right? We don't know a whole lot about Ahinoam, but hidden mothering has a holy purpose. God was in control of all the circumstances that she was facing. And the naming and her purpose as a mother, it's God's hand. Being the wife of King Saul, it's God's hand. And I had to think about the question, and I know God still had a plan, right? If Ahinoam wouldn't have been the mom, and Saul would have descended into chaos like he did, but would David have survived, okay? This is just one of those ethical dilemmas, maybe. But would David had survived if King Saul's children did not have the mothering of Ahinoam? Saul was telling Jonathan, hey, kill the man. He's taking your throne. Set Michael. They set the guards to Michael's house when David and Michael were married. And she had to make a decision. What's she going to do? Kill the man. Ahinoam's legacy is not loud, right? It's not loud. We don't know a lot about her. But it's faithfulness in the shadows. And her results are proven in her children. Ahinoam's adversity. The life in which she mothered. You know, we know that Saul had his weaknesses. But there is a marked difficulty that comes with being a queen of a king who is, you could say, derobed, or he's going to no longer be the king. So there's some things that she had to work through. And so spiritual crisis. Her husband rejected God's word. He's stepping out. He's disobeying what Samuel told him to do, a direct command from God. Then there's public shame. The nation obviously watching a king be corrected. Mental health. With Saul is obviously declining, and it says it was tormented by an evil spirit. Well, that would be tough. Family uncertainty. You know, the children's futures are in jeopardy. New king comes on, generally the lineage gets killed off. So how do you handle that? Identity loss. You know, from being the queen to the mother of a rejected king. How would that shake you as a mother? Daily instability, and obviously living with a man who is rages and throws spears would be a little tough, very tough. The daily instability would be there. And so how does she go through all this, and yet there are children that grew up honoring God? The hidden works in secret, her works in secret, were shouted in public by the character of her children. Ahinoam's anchoring in Jonathan. I don't take all the different circumstances in Jonathan's life, but some of them. Jonathan and Michael had both showed signs of character being shaped by someone who taught them. And the reality is this. She, Ahinoam, couldn't control Saul's character, but she could shape her children's character. She could shape her children's character. And so, yes, every child makes a decision, right? As moms, sometimes you can be perfect, you can handle everything perfectly, which we don't, obviously. But they still make a decision. But there's a reality here. But each mother can shape and point towards God's way, or they can point away from God. And it seems like she pointed towards God. What did she teach? Well, obviously she teaches a morality, right? A moral conscience towards God. A right and a wrong. Courage over fear. The God dictation or people dictation, right? Saul at one point said, hey, like, at least save my face. Like, before the people, like, save my face. But we don't really see that in her children. Loyalty to God over loyalty to self. The personal gain that Jonathan obviously could have had. Compassion over cruelty, or you could say love versus hate. And Jonathan could have just hated David. It would be hard where he went through, but he was taught something. You see, Ahinoam was actually called by Saul a perverse and a rebellious woman, right? In 1 Samuel 20:30, and if you want to turn there, you may. But in 1 Samuel 20:30, because they seemingly chose God's way and giving some honor to David over following Saul's way. 1 Samuel 20:30 says this, "Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness?" And so he's obviously trying to shame Jonathan into aligning with Saul or he himself, but is also indicating that apparently there wasn't, like, Achinom wasn't on board with where Saul was going. And a mother's secret sacrifices are often the source of her children's most admired virtues. In a home ruled by Saul's instability, Achinom becomes a quiet, steady, godly presence, it seems. And let's look at Achinom's anchoring in Jonathan. So, in regard to battles, you know, when when Jonathan and his armor bearer at the base of a cliff, and they were getting beat by the Philistines, and Jonathan's, we got to do something. And so he sets kind of like this, what would you say, cloak out, not the cloak, but kind of sets something out as a test. And they just, God answers his test, and the Philistines say, hey, come up. He puts his trust in God. He allows God to decide the battle. And he says in 1 Samuel 14 and verse 12, "There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." He had a different concept than what his father did, his father Saul. A little bit later, we see in 1 Samuel 23, again, this is in relation to David. He believes God sets up kings, he chooses kings, not just human ambition. Here's what it says about him here. "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth." He knew it. His dad knew it. But he was able to humble himself and to accept God's way of choosing kings. A little bit later, actually this is prior, but another example would be when Jonathan confronts Saul. And he was talking to Saul, and Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, "Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?" Right? He's standing up for righteousness. What hath he done? And that's when Saul gets mad at his own son and casts a javelin. Whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Where does a young man learn these things, the good and wrong? Well, we know that if you look around in culture today, when parents don't do their job, we know that there's things that start to go missing. I don't think Jonathan learned everything from his father. It's from his mother. It indicates that mom was a steady, faithful influence who kept pointing to God. You know, as I thought back about my teen years, sometimes we would do something for an evening and come back, as I would usually go with my sister. She was a year and a half older than me, so we usually went together, came back together, and usually mom or dad would be waiting up. And if dad was going to go somewhere early the next morning, he would go to bed and mom would be waiting up. And then mom would talk to us, right? Hey, how's the weekend? Or how was the weekend? And talk to us about different things. But with all that, she would eventually ask about, hey, you know, who was there? And how was it? What'd you learn? And she presented a genuine care for us as a mom. And there's a lot of late night chats that she influenced us in different ways. And so what I'm saying is that Jonathan's character came from a mother who taught him humility, not his father. Saul was, it says, raised up in his own image, right? He got proud. He had courage. You know, you see, Saul couldn't even fight Goliath. He didn't have that God word faith. Submission to God. He was submitted to God's presence, and it doesn't seem like Saul was. Loyalty to righteousness. He was loyal, not unto like a loyalty to just a king. He was loyal to God. Achinom raised a son who could stand in the middle of the chaos and say, "Let the Lord do what seems good to him." And that is hard. Let the Lord do what seems good to him. A mother's secret sacrifices are often the source of our children's most admired virtues. Let's look at Michal. And again, I had already mentioned that it seems like towards the end of her life, being taken from David, given to a loyalist of her father Saul, and then she was dragged back out of her home by her brother, given back to David, that there was some bitterness there. But the instance I want to look at more specifically is when she was asked to kill David, or allow them to come and kill David, and then she comes up with a plan. One of the first instances it talks about in Scripture with Michal and David is this. 1 Samuel 18:20, it says, Michal loved David. It's no other spot in the Old Testament where it says a woman loved a man. It's not accidental. It seems like there is a design with that. It was pure. It was sincere. She loved David. Maybe that's because she didn't see some of the quality characteristics that she would have seen in her father that she saw in David. You know, she probably admired David's courage, his character, his humility, opposite of her father, the faith, a man favored by God. She wouldn't have seen these things in her father. And Michael's love wasn't political. It wasn't arranged. It wasn't forced. It was just real love. And so in a palace full of Saul's paranoia, his rage, his insecurity, and all the things that he was doing, David was probably a breath of fresh air. A man after God's own heart. And so Michal grew up watching her father rage, lie, manipulate, and try to kill an innocent man. And yet when the moment came, Michal chose righteousness over loyalty and sin. 1 Samuel 19, this is the phrase I was referring to, or the example I was referring to. And Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, and again, if you don't remember, Michal became David's wife when he killed, I think it was 1,000 Philistines. So Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And then she, the story goes on, but then she makes up a fake man sleeping in a bed for allowing him to get away farther. So what did she do? She warned, protected, risked her life. Saul was not happy at all. Why did you deceive me? He's asking Michal. You know, the kind of courage that is taught, not just bought. And so there was something here in Michael's life that was she was being taught, even amidst the chaos and dysfunction of Saul's reign. A mother's secret sacrifices are often the source of her child's most admired virtues. So how do we make this practical? How do we make being seen the things in secret, like down in daily life, practical? Well, one thing it's not is, as I was thinking back, there's an example that came to my mind. Us as children would sometimes race for the phone. Back when my parents still had a landline, it would ring, you know, and starts playing. And so it was like a universal dash. And in the midst, sometimes you would start bickering, or sometimes we'd tackle each other as brothers to get to the phone. And sometimes, you know, it started with my one brother in particular, but it was a chaotic moment. Let's just put it that way. And he was yelling at us like, no, be quiet, right before he answers the phone. It was, hello, goods, you know. How you always answer with a very happy voice when you answer the phone. And so, okay. And it wasn't long after that it was one of our parents, or it was one of the older siblings. Same thing happened. Chaotic, race for the phone. I think mom had gotten it or something. But, hey, be quiet, right? Hello, goods. That's not mothering, right? We don't mother so that in public we look good. The goal isn't to perfect the image in public as a mother, or that idea of hello goods, right? And there's no more noise in the background. We know sometimes there's noise in the background as moms. But the goal is to practice in private what is evidenced in public. Practice in private what is evidenced in public. So as I wrap this up, a kingdom doesn't give us a famous prayer, right? She doesn't give us anything else. She's not recorded as doing any amazing acts like Esther as a queen. She doesn't give us a long speech or something that was said. But she gives us a reminder that God doesn't only work through women that everyone notices. He also works the women who keep going, who keep praying, who keep loving their children, keep exalting Jesus even in tough times, even in secret. So there's a story that is told of a British preacher whose four sons all became pastors, and then he wrote, and so he had influenced a lot of people. So one day his youngest son, Howard, who was a preacher, was asked by a reporter, "Who do you think, in the family of five preachers, who is the best preacher?" And the reporter was shocked when he said, "My mother. My mother." "Well, why?" "Well, we don't often realize, and I don't have any as much influence as what a mother does in a home. I can say a lot of things, but the mother in the home has a lot of influence. So sometimes we don't always realize that a mom's love makes a difference. Her concern, her teaching, her late night chats when we come home from youth group, they all impact us more than probably anything else." With that in mind, mothers, can I simply encourage you with this? If, like all the other things, you probably know there's a lot of things out there that you could be doing. You could always improve, and yes, we can always improve. There's a lot of things you could do, but may all the godly, consistent principles of a godly mother, right? Fruits of the Spirit, the teachings of Jesus, and how we live out as a godly mother, right? You probably know them all. I don't need to tell you them. But could you keep doing them and continue to cultivate them in secret what no one praises you for in public? Just keep steadily, again, day after day, being a godly mother. And if you can do that, you are then successful. You are then successful in God's way of mothering. And we do that. It's not a public fanfare, right? As an influencer or whatever else might be done today, or to provide a perfect image of what's actually happening in your family on Instagram or whatever else it might be. But just continually repeat the faithful principles of a godly mother in your home in secret, and the children will take care of the result in public. With that in mind, my last thought: moms, never underestimate the power of the unseen spiritual work. Yeah, there's spiritual work in all your tasks. There is. The unseen spiritual work you are doing as consistent godly mothers. You know that daily spilled cup that tests your patience a little bit? Maybe it's not daily, but it probably seems like daily. Or washing the clothes, or settling squabbles, whatever else it might be. All those things. You know, those daily actions may be faithful in spiritual and physical faithfulness as a mom. And then in secret, be seen in public by the fruits of your children's lives. And I bless you guys as mothers. And may you continue on, be faithful, and exalt God in secret, just as you would in public. I'm going to finish a little different. There's a song, "Hold Fast," to the right. And you guys can all stand for this song. Hopefully you know it. I could not find four-part SATB music for it. So I think it was for a guitar. And so we'll sing that. Hopefully you all know it. "Hold Fast to the Right." We would have sang this at my aunt's funeral. And I think it's just a testament to some of the work that moms do.
Kneel down by the side of your mother, my boy, you have only a moment, I know, but stay till I give you my parting advice. It is all that I am to bestow. Hold fast to the right, hold fast to the right, wherever your footsteps may roam. Oh, forsake not the way of salvation, my boy, that you learn from your mother at home.
Let's sing verse 3 and 4 yet.
You'll find in your satchel a Bible, my boy. 'Tis the book of all others the best. It will teach you to live and prepare you to die, and will lead to the gates of the blessed. Hold fast to the right, hold fast to the right, wherever your footsteps may roam. Oh, forsake not the way of salvation, my boy, that you learn from your mother at home. I gave you to God in your cradle, my boy. I have taught you the best that I knew. And as long as his mercy perforces me to live, I will never stop praying for you. Hold fast to the right, hold fast to the right, wherever your footsteps may roam. Oh, forsake not the way of salvation, my boy, that you learn from your mother at home.
Let's all stay standing. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And God, we just pray a blessing on all the mothers here. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would enable them and empower them through this next week and years of their lives as mothers. God, may they see their private work just as important as anything public. And God, may you enable them in the moments when they're stressed or life seems chaotic and busy to go back to your principles and consistently and faithfully exhibit them and exalt you as God, so that her children and their children can be children who grow up and don't depart from the way of life in relationship to you. May the Lord clothe you with strength and dignity, and may he cause you to laugh at the days to come. May your mouth be filled with wisdom and your tongue with the teaching of kindness. May your children rise up and call you blessed. May the Lord honor the work of your hands. And all God's people said, amen. Of course.
We are the promise.